You're listening to another episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast with your host, the main event player, the Super C himself, the God among gods, the King among kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth, and we begin the show right now. Of the Main Event Talk Podcast. I am the Main Event Player, Super C himself, the God among gods, the King among kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth. And this episode, we are going to recap everything that took place over at Full Gear from this past Saturday night. The Main Event is going to give you his details and everything as to what happened from this past Saturday night. I had a chance to look at the pay-per-view left and right and everything. Give you some details on who won and who lost and everything. Of course, we're going to go ahead and we'll probably start off with the Wrestling Observer Live. They're going to be talking about their take on Full Gear because they saw it as well. You know, give you the hint on the matches, you know, everything that took place and everything, so you'll get an idea. So, now, before we go ahead and move on, what we got to talk about, the next thing that we need to talk about here is I've got some programming notes here to give you. We're going to be doing, obviously we're doing an episode right now. This episode is being released on a Friday. Now, to let everybody know, there is going to be an episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast that's going to happen right after this episode. Now, this episode is all about Full Gear. Everything is about Full Gear from AEW. Obviously, we're going to also talk about Survivor Series on this episode as well. But on the next episode, we're going to talk about Survivor Series. We're going to talk about the matches that are going to take place in Survivor Series. And most importantly, and I think this is the question I think that's going to really get people's attention, is it worth even talking about? And we'll talk about that in the next episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. And also, besides those episodes, the Main Event is going to be working on an episode that is going to be released on Thanksgiving Eve. Not on Thanksgiving Day, but on Thanksgiving Eve. The Main Event's going to be taking some time off right after the episode because we're going to try and get right back into the whole podcasting thing, because there are going to be a few more episodes before we get into 2022, and we're getting closer and closer to it, as you can tell. So The Thanksgiving Eve edition is going to feature Survivor Series. We're going to talk about some of the debuts that happened at Survivor Series. We're going to talk about some of the events that took place at Survivor Series. I think this will be a part one, part two episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. I think what will happen is that we're going to get into the Survivor Series, because it's going on, it's 35 years now that Survivor Series has been out, and we're going to talk about everything from the debut of The Shield to the debut of The Rock, the debut of The Undertaker, debut of Sting. There were so many debuts that happened, even Kurt Angle's debut at Survivor Series. We'll talk about the gravest challenge between Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker, and of course, the most famous moment of them all that took place at Survivor Series. The Montreal Screwjob that happened between Bret the Hitman Hart and Shawn Michaels in the 1997 Survivor Series, because that is something that everybody has talked about. As a matter of fact, it's the 16th anniversary, right? 16 or 15. It's something like that. Because the anniversary took place on November 9th, 1997. We're in 2001. So my guess is, I think it's the 23rd, 22nd, I think. I may be wrong. I could be wrong, I think. But anyways, before we go ahead and talk about what we need to talk about as far as Full Gear goes, want to give a big shout out over to everyone over at Rich's Billiards, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Rich's Billiards. Now, the main event of this episode is sponsored by Rich's Billiards, 5815. Whoa. I'm sorry. I was just getting in my Facebook right now, and I just saw something that, hey, you know, let me get this out of the way. You know how you go ahead and you watch your Facebook and you see all these beautiful women? And trust me, I have a lot of women. I don't have a lot of women. There are a lot of women on my Facebook that are, number one, extremely hot. Some of them I've met, I know, and some of them I've seen over at Rich's Billiards, but do you find it funny that I don't mind a woman showing off who she is, showing off how beautiful, how gorgeous she looks in every way possible? Because I like to pay a compliment no matter what. But is it overdone? Is it overdone? Let me explain why. When I see a woman on my Facebook and she goes ahead and displays how beautiful and how gorgeous she looks, my first thought is, my God, she's gorgeous, she's hot. And every other guy, you know what every other guy thinks, right? And they see a beautiful woman, they want to fuck the living shit out of this woman. Yes, it's the fucking truth. They won't admit it, but it's true. It's how it goes. But anyways, big shout out over to Rich's Billiards, and more importantly, big shout out over to Emo Night. Emo Night is returning to Rich's Billiards, and it's happening this coming Saturday night, guys. It's going to take place, and I'm over here on the Rich's Billiards, not on the Rich's Billiards website, but I'm actually at website. Like, I don't think Rich's Billiards has a website, do they? No, I don't think they do. They have a Facebook page. That's what I'm looking at right now. But anyways, I'm looking at the Emo Night, and if, and I may be wrong on this, and I'm seeing this on the Emo Night, go to Emo Night Corpus Christi, and you'll see their Facebook page. But they have an event happening this coming Saturday. I haven't tried it yet, but I think they have an app of some kind. I may have to look into that as soon as I can. But anyways, let me go ahead and look into what's about to take place this coming Saturday night. Saturday night is Emo Night over at Rich's Billiards. The event is going to take place, this Saturday, starting at 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. and everything. What to expect? This is what I'm reading right here. What to expect? Emo Night. I think the event's entitled Thanks for the Memories. Free t-shirts to be given away. Early arrival recommended. If you guys get an opportunity, if you want to get some free t-shirts from Emo Night, head over to Rich's Billiards as early as possible. So that way, not only can you be there to go take some shots, drink some beers, have yourself a good time and everything else like that, but be there to be prepared for one hell of an event, especially when it comes to Emo Night. Now, take place on Saturday, November 20th, Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber in Corpus Christi, Texas. Cheers and tears, 18 and up are welcome with proper ID, $10 cover, 9 p.m. will start, and 2 a.m. to end. That's how it's going to go. And it's hosted, of course, by Emo Night, and here's the description right here, just to get it out of the way here. Emo Night of Corpus Christi is an 18 and up event that plays the best emo, pop punk, metalcore, and post-hardcore with DJ sets from our event and celebrity DJs, as well as live performances from favorite emo artists from across the country. That's what you see right here on the Emo Night page. Now, Emo Night is going to take place live on Saturday night, November 20th. So if you guys want to get there as early as you can and get yourself a free t-shirt. I wear a XX, by the way. X large, double X is fine as long as I get a free t-shirt in any way possible. But anyways, get there as early as you can to get your hands on a free t-shirt over at Rich's Billiards. Emo Night is this coming Saturday night. Main Event cannot wait for that event and everything. I'm hoping to get there as early as possible. And I'm just hoping I plan on getting there regardless and everything like that. Because that's pretty much the plan, because I try to figure out exactly whether or not I'm going to be here or not. I was looking into my schedules, looking at my stuff. There's a possibility I could be there. So I will possibly be there, but something could change. Something could change. I'm not going to guarantee it at all, but something will change. But anyways, be there for Emo Night Live as it happens Saturday night, November 20th, over at Rich's Billiards and everything else like that. And of course, if you guys are interested in checking out Karaoke Night with Rich's Billiards, they've been doing karaoke night for the past couple of weeks now, ever since its conception. They did one recently. I think it was a retro show. Not a retro show exactly, but it was like a back to the 50s, 60s type atmosphere. I think that's what I saw. But if you guys want to, you know, do some karaoke night over at Rich's Billiards, go over there on Wednesday night. I'm curious about whether or not Rich's Billiards is going to have a Thanksgiving Eve karaoke night, because this is going to be where the tough part comes into play here. Now, and I say this, and I'm hoping that Richard and everybody else is listening to this one, because as you know, Rich's Billiards has been doing their karaoke night for the past couple of Wednesdays already. Now, this is a stiff competition right here, guys. And the reason why I say that is because while Rich's Billiards is doing karaoke night on Wednesday nights, you got Molly's that are doing the same thing too. But they do karaoke night every night, no matter what. But this is going to be some stiff competition, especially when it comes to Thanksgiving Eve. So what will happen is the main event, well, if there was a way for the main event to promote Molly's, I could, okay? But at this point, I'm working for Richard, so, well, I'm not really working for Richard, but I'm just promoting this because I can and I want to, okay? But anyways, all I'm saying is make karaoke night at Rich's Billiards the best night. And you want to go to Molly's? You go to Molly's. You do what you want, whatever you want to. But if you want to head over to Rich's Billiards for karaoke night, you do that. It starts at 10 p.m. and ends around 2 a.m. And no doubt they'll probably have something special next week on Thanksgiving Eve. No doubt that Rich's Billiards will probably be closed on Thanksgiving. But I don't think they're going to be closed completely. I think what will happen is, because of the fact that, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up next week on a Thursday, some of us are going to be cooking Thanksgiving, me being one of them. And also some of us are going to be checking out the Cowboys game. I think the Cowboys are going to be playing somebody on Thanksgiving. I may have to look into that and everything else like that. But anyways, Rich's Billiards will be closed, but they will be open. I believe they're going to open either at 6 p.m., 7 p.m., I think that's the idea. But if you guys want to do something for Thanksgiving Eve, or if you want to do something for Thanksgiving, head over to Rich's Billiards for karaoke night. Check it out as you can. And head over to Rich's Billiards after Thanksgiving is over, guys. All right, just get a chance. They will be open for that time. And of course, check out Emo Night as it happens live Saturday night, November 20th. Show starts at 9 p.m. and ends around 2 a.m. Get a free t-shirt. Get there as early as you can to get a t-shirt from Emo Night. Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues. Big shout out over to Rich's Billiards. Big shout out over to Richard as well. Of course, big shout out over to Ryan Alvarado, who's the one that's doing the whole thing with Emo Night and everything. And of course, everyone that's a part of the Emo Night staff and everything, because they've done a tremendous job doing this. And no doubt, all the DJs and everybody involved, keep doing what you're doing, guys. You're attracting attention. You're getting a lot of people. Do what you can, all right? Thank you so much for it. And the main event will hopefully be there this coming Saturday. I damn well got to be there for this one. Everybody else said that. 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues. Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, let's go ahead and let's get into full gear and everything. But before we go ahead and get into full gear, and before we get into what's about to take place and everything, let's get into the comments made by Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi about full gear. They saw the event just like I did. I'll give you my take on what took place at full gear. But first, we're going to listen to the Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi. Their take on full gear that took place this past Saturday night live on pay-per-view.
For Sports Illustrated. It's up right now on my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Results of full gear and the story of Ole Hanger. And yes, I couldn't help myself. I had referred him to Ole Hanger in the article. This show was great. Dave, I think he said there were eight. I think he said eight. 4-star matches or above out of 10. I had 6. But, you know, the thing as I noted in my article for Sports Illustrated, the thing with this show is every match is different. And you know what's funny is when I went to Dave's to watch the show, it was a full house. There were like 15 people watching the pay-per-view. And you'll never know what happened. You know what happens when you have 15 people watching a pay-per-view? Everyone thinks everything is either good or bad based on their own opinion. Like, you know, the Young Bucks match. I mean, there's people that think that was a 5-star match. There were also people there at the party who were like, there's way too much stuff. I mean, way too many things. It burns me out as a viewer. Everybody has a different opinion about what they like or don't like in their wrestling. And that's going to happen with AEW because, unlike WWE, and I'm not saying this is a negative, it is just what it is, Vince likes one style of wrestling, and everybody needs to work that style. And if you don't work the style, he doesn't get it, he doesn't like it, and he doesn't push you or do anything with you, for the most part. There are rare exceptions. But MJF and Darby, fabulous wrestling match with a pure babyface and a pure heel. No questions. Lucha Brothers and FTR, way better than the first match they had. You had Lucha Libre, you had old school pro wrestling style workers in FTR melding everything together into this match. Danielson and Miro, two former WWE guys, having a match they could never have in WWE, but it was a great match. Christian and Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, just, they went out there trying to have a 5-star crazy match. Maybe you thought it was, maybe you thought it wasn't. But that was the goal, and it was unlike anything else we've seen thus far. Cody Rhodes and Pac versus Malakai Black and Andrade. They had the feuding partners gimmick here, which, like, that's all we see in WWE, so it's irritating. In AEW, virtually all the teams actually like each other. And so it's something different when you have teams that don't like each other. And obviously the reason here is we're likely leading to a four-way with these individuals, I would think. Britt Baker and Ty Conti was your women's match. I could talk a lot about that match. CM Punk and Eddie Kingston was a fight. They just went out there and they fought. We had pro wrestling versus MMA in the Inner Circle versus the Men of the Year and American Top Team. And they didn't idiot-proof it. I mean, they went out there and they had a match with these MMA fighters. And luckily, Dan Lambert and Andre Arlovsky didn't do a lot. But man, Junior Dos Santos did. And they took every trick in the book to try to make this a great match. And while you can't necessarily say it was a great match, it was way better than I expected. And they had a really, really nice finish to celebrate Eddie Guerrero. Adam Page and Kenny Omega in the main event. Just a classic old-school world championship match. Played off a story from literally over 2 years ago. Further, if you go back to the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks always seconding Kenny Omega to his big match in the Tokyo Dome. You literally could go back like 5 years if you wanted to for this story. But Ole Hanger won. The Young Bucks were there at ringside like they weren't 2 years ago for his first shot. They did not interfere. In fact, they gave him the nod to finish the job. There's many years left of the storyline. But this was the ending of the first act of this storyline. I thought the show was great. What did you think?
Oh, that was fantastic. And I can't believe that the people that saw it, anybody would have any other thing to say besides it was fantastic. And you know, with All Out coming right before this, we're in, and New Japan started to change this, where it's hard to now compare these pay-per-views of today with the past. You know, my default switch being old was always like 89 Great American Bash. You can't even compare these cards anymore with the type of athletes and where the business has gone. You just have to take like this newer era, and you can compare these with the New Japan Tokyo Dome shows and things like that. I mean, I thought it was outstanding from pillar to post, and even the stuff that was not great from bell to bell all had a purpose and a story and a place to go. So it was a win, I thought, all the way across the board. They gave people what they wanted at the end with Hangman Page standing tall with the title, and you got some intrigue in there with his interaction with the Young Bucks. So I thought the entire thing went fantastic for AEW, and I thought it was a winning weekend on what was a really busy weekend for professional wrestling.
So we did have the debut of Jay Lethal. Somebody had the number of people that debuted for AEW on pay-per-view over the past year, and it was like 8 or 10 or some ridiculous number.
Lions.
And, you know, the whole Ring of Honor situation occurred. And everybody's deal, you know, the gist of the story the day that it occurred was, you know, everybody is free to do whatever they want, but they are still committed for the last Ring of Honor taping and the final battle pay-per-view. That's what was said. That's largely true. But, you know, if you want to do something, you talk to Ring of Honor. And what happened was Jay Lethal got his release. He is no longer with Ring of Honor. He is full-time with AEW. He debuts on Wednesday in a match for the TNT title against Sammy Guevara. And he is not the last that will be jumping ship from one place to another. But that was the only debut on the show. Although they did announce that this coming Wednesday, we will have another AEW debut based off what happened on the pay-per-view, and that is Tomohiro Ishii, who will be teaming up with Orange Cassidy to face the Butcher and the Blade. And it does very much appear that at some point very soon, Okada is going to be making his debut in AEW. Neither of them obviously have signed. They're still with New Japan. But the forbidden door is open, and we got people in this country, and they will be coming in
again.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting right there, considering the fact that you know, everything that they just talked about right there. So, as you're listening to this episode, and as you're listening to the experience right here, the Wrestling Observer, because they had mentioned that about the match with Orange Cassidy and. I can't pronounce the guy's name, I'm sorry. That already happened, and I can go ahead and give you the results. Orange Cassidy won, him and his tag team partner from New Japan Pro Wrestling, a member of Chaos with Rocky Romero as well. So, great show from AEW, by the way, from this past Wednesday. You know, just give you guys an idea. So, big shout out to the Wrestling Observer Live, to Brian Alvarez and Mike Cibervini and everybody involved. If you want to go ahead and subscribe to the Wrestling Observer Live, get a chance to listen to him on YouTube. You can listen to small clips of it as you can, but if you want to get into their full episodes and everything, all you got to do is sign up today. Sign up over on the WrestlingObserver.com. And I think it could actually go and click the subscribe button or the join button, I think, on... And let me see if I can find it here correctly, because I think... let's see if I can find... Okay, here we go. Wrestling Observer Live. It actually says... F4W Online. And I guess that means for... Wrestling Observer or something like that. But anyways, it says to subscribe right here. You can join members only. You can see the videos that the videos are actually somewhere between 40 minutes to an hour and a half long of the Brian Alvarez, the Brian and Vinny show, Wrestling Observer Live, Figure 4 Daily with Tom Lawler and Lance Storm, Interesting stuff, you know, but these are for members only. But if you want to be a member, all you got to do is subscribe to the Wrestling Observer, and you can actually hit the join button to, be alerted when all new shows and clips are available. Love listening to the show. Love listening to this and the Jim Cornette Experience and the drive-thru and everything else like that. Some very, very good stuff. Everything related to professional wrestling. Okay, so they went ahead and talked about Full Gear. So let's get into Full Gear. Let's get into some of the matches that took place. The buy-in, the first match that came in, that Saturday night, I had taken off to go to the store real quick because I went ahead and bought me about 4 tall boys. I figured I was going to probably be the only one watching the event and everything. I was hoping I would have my friend Roman come along with me and check out the event, but he couldn't make it, so me and Roman, I decided to watch the event on my own. Went ahead and set the TV outside, looked at all the matches. I actually saw half of the matches, and then I went back inside because it was getting pretty cold outside and everything else like that. Had me some tall boys and had me some Jaeger shots and everything, just straight Jaegers. You know, if I had some Red Bull, I probably would have some Jaeger bombs and everything. But anyways, let's get into Full Gear. The first matchup was a tag match featuring the women of AEW, Akaru Shira and Thunder Rosa taking on the team of Jamie Hayter and Kyla Rose. Now, these 4 individuals are part of the TBS Championship Tournament, or as some people have been now calling it, the Hoes title. The Hoes. Hoes. Anyways. I think Akaru, and just to go ahead and get this out of the way, Akaru Shida had a match with Nyla Rose from this past Wednesday on Dynamite. Great match. Serena Deeb had came in and got involved in the match, injuring her leg. Akaru Shira had lost a match to Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose has advanced to semifinals. So far, that bracket has been taken over. And there's about 3 more brackets left over till we get to the finals right there. So far, Nyla Rose has advanced into the finals, advanced to the semifinals. So we'll see what happens there. But in this matchup right here, much like what happened on Wednesday night, Akaru Shira and Thunder Rosa were doing tremendous. In the matchup, Serena Deeb did get involved in the match. She was at ringside. She was actually outside where the audience was, and she really didn't get in the match. What she did, she basically distracted Akaru Shira, and Vicky Guerrero came in and laid her out right on the leg and everything. So, but in the end of the matchup, Akaru Shira and Thunder Rosa won the match against Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose. Great match. Digged how it was and everything. I had a feeling that Thunder Rosa and Akaru Shira were going to win the match. That's what happened. And that's what took place in the buy-in. Now for the full entire event. The Full Gear event. So, as I'm watching this, the first matchup that took place was MJF versus Darby Allin. MJF comes down to the ring, you know, coming down with his ring in his finger and everything else like that. He was wearing, and I gotta call this, he was wearing purple trunks. Or not purple trunks exactly, but they look kind of like, you could tell it's purple, but it's kind of light purple. And my first thought is, okay, it's like a bad guy wearing white tights. What the fuck is wrong with this? it was fucking silly to look at. But anyways, here comes Darby Allin coming down the aisle. They showed a video package where Darby Allin was driving in a truck or driving a car, and it had the words "loser" on it. And I think some guy walking had an MJF mask, came into the car. The car was driving and basically going at a very high speed. And then after that, all of a sudden, the car had turned over, right? Had turned over completely. And then all of a sudden, you see Darby Allin coming out, and the other guy was left behind. I'm surprised they didn't show the part where the fucking car exploded. It would have looked good, but that didn't happen. So here comes Darby Allin coming down the aisle, with Sting on his side. Sting and them do a fist bump. Sting goes back, and then it's all left to Darby Allin to take on MJF in the middle of the ring. This was a highlight of the night. It was the first match of the Full Gear event. Saw it outside, was drinking a beer and taking a shot of it as this match was going on. Great match. It was typical MJF style. He came in with some great wrestling, did some dirty tactics along the way. Darby Allin being Darby Allin, being very, I wouldn't say suicidal. I think it. I always said that Darby Allin is AEW's version of Jeff Hardy, a fucked up version of Jeff Hardy, and I say that because, like I said, when you see Jeff Hardy doing these extreme moves and seeing all these daredevil tactics, they look badass. But when you see Darby Allin do it, it's basically the same thing, but he does it in his own fucked up way. That's why I say a fucked up version of Jeff Hardy. So Darby Allin and MJF put on a good show. Some of it was good wrestling, and some of it was extreme in every way. Then, of course, Sean Spears and Wardlow had to get involved in the match, and then Sting went ahead and intervened to make sure nobody got involved in the match at all. The match of the night, the part of the night was MJF was hurting his leg. He was having some trouble, some issues with the knee and everything, and Darby Allin had exposed that. And during that match, I think every time when MJF was trying to put a move on with the MJF, all of a sudden his knee, you know, kind of gave way a little bit. Like, there was this one part where I saw, I think it was on the outside, right? He went ahead and tombstoned Darby Allin on the apron, on the outside of the ring. But then as soon as the tombstone hit, he may have gotten Darby Allin, but in the process, he hurt his leg, and you can tell he was screaming in pain like crazy, right? So this match was good. This match was good. The ending, however, was completely crazy, and I think I like how this ending went down. So Darby Allin, face-to-face with MJF. MJF goes ahead and gets a skateboard, right? And we know he was going to use a skateboard, but then smartly he goes ahead and just gives a skateboard to Darby Allin and wants Darby Allin to hit him with a skateboard in front of the referee, you know, to get him to say, hey, hit me with a skateboard. Hit me with a fucking skateboard. Darby Allin is smart enough to realize he ain't going to do that because he knows if he does that, he's disqualified. Simple as that. And he even said that it was going to be a straight wrestling match. Which was. It was a straight wrestling match, but it also kind of got extreme there. So Darby Allin didn't use it. He basically, got the skateboard out of the way. The referee and Darby Allin were both distracted, while MJF went ahead and got his ring out of his tights, placed it on. Darby Allin was going to go ahead and continue the assault on MJF. MJF goes ahead and lays him out. Darby Allin is laid flat out. He's done. Referee is still distracted. MJF goes ahead and does a headlock takedown, as he had preferred to it. 1, 2, 3, MJF wins. my opinion, love the finish, love how it went down. I think it could have went either way. I think MJF winning was the right call. I wanted Darby Allin to win in this match. Because when you think about this closely, you got a guy like MJF who not only can talk, but also loves to play mind games with people's heads. Likes to fuck with people no matter what, however it goes. Darby Allin was someone you couldn't mess with that guy's head if you could, right? So Darby Allin, if he would have won the match, that would put the psyche or put the mental stability inside the head of MJF. Basically what I mean is Darby would be fucking with MJF's head and MJF would be like, how could I lose to this son of a fucking bitch? And that's how I think the ending should have been. But instead, it ended up this way. This was a better ending. I think I would have liked mine a little bit better, but this ending was good. MJF wins the match over Darby Allin, and this was a way to start off Full Gear. The next matchup was for the AEW World Tag Team titles. The Lucha Brothers took on FTR with Tully Blanchard in their corner. And, of course, Alex Abrahando, or whatever the fuck his name is, in the Lucha Brothers side. This was a good match. This was a good Lucha Libre match. It was a clash of styles. You had two men that do Lucha Libre and two men that do basic tag team wrestling in FTR. There were several spots in there that looked pretty dangerous, right, for the most part. And then there was a spot where I saw where, and there was going to be a point where they were going to pay tribute to Eddie one way or another. So there was a part where, I think it was either Dax or Hardwood that went ahead, Dax or one of them went ahead and was about to do the Three Amigos. And there was this part, I think it was Dax, where he was doing the whole shuffle that Eddie Guerrero does and everything else like that. Now, and I'll talk about this in a moment. So he does the shuffle, and then he goes ahead and does the whole Three Amigos thing, like what Eddie Guerrero does. You know, does one suplex, does another suplex, and then he was about to do the third one. And then I think it was, who was it? It was Penta, who went ahead and stopped him. And then, you know, he did his version of the Three Amigos, where he picked them up and laid them out. You know, one, two, and then the Three Amigos were done. And then after that, tags in Rey Fénix. Rey Fénix jumps up in the air, does the Eddie Guerrero flog splash, and then one, two, and then kicks out. Great tribute to Eddie Guerrero, but the matchup continues from there, right? So the next part of the match was where they went ahead and I think there was a part where I think Dax went under the ring. Both of them were under the ring. One of them was wearing one of the green masks, right? They were wearing one of the green masks. And then all of a sudden, it just ended up the point where I think Dax was the legal man and Cash was the illegal man. And he was the one that was wearing the mask, right? So he goes in the ring. And as I'm watching all this unfold, I'm like, okay, where the fuck is Dax at? He's the legal man. He's supposed to be in the ring. When the mask was taken off, or actually when the mask was still on, here's what happened. Just to kind of give the conclusion. The Lucha Brothers hit their finish. Pin Cash, 1, 2, 3. That was it. The match was over. But the thing that was wrong was when they unmask, I don't understand why the referee didn't even reverse the match or have the match continue, because Dash was not the legal man. Dax was. Cash was the illegal man. Dax was the legal man. But whatever the fuck happened, I mean, I don't know exactly how this whole thing screwed up. It was a great match. But the finish, what the fuck were they thinking? Well, they're going to put the mask on and everything's fine, yada, yada, yada. No, it ends up with the Lucha Brothers still retain the titles. Now, I was glad with that finish. I mean, I was glad because I knew eventually that the Lucha Brothers were going to retain the titles against FTR. That was going to happen. But however this finish went down, I don't even know what the hell they were thinking in this match. But nonetheless, your winners and still tag team champions, the Lucha Brothers retained the titles against FTR. Next matchup was the final match for the AEW Championship Eliminator Tournament between Bryan Danielson and Miro. This was a fucking fantastic match from head to toe. Two individuals that came from the WWE, and I think they have faced off against each other before. I think. I could be wrong. But this is the first time that they've met here in AEW. This was not your typical, and when you look at this matchup closely, this is not something you see in WWE. Both men put on a clinic. Both men put on a match. You know who the babyface was. You know who the heel was. One man was stronger. The other man was weak. One man was technical and the other man used brute force. These guys were badass in the fucking ring. Miro, this is the best I've seen him. And a lot of people have complimented on this. Miro, this is the best I've seen him since his days of being Rusev in WWE. When he was the United States champion, and to me, even though he lost the United States title to John Cena at WrestleMania, to me, look, that was the best right there. After that, you know, there was the whole Rusev day and then everything else like that, and it just went to shit from here. This version of Rusev, this Miro right here, I like it. This match could have gone either way, in any way possible. but it ended up with Daniel Bryan. And here was the thing. I mentioned this in the Main Event Talk podcast. I mentioned this to someone a while back on Twitter or on Facebook. Miro has never really lost. Even though he lost the TNT Championship to Sammy Guevara, there were some controversial stuff behind that. So, to me, I always feel like if somebody used a dirty tactic to beat an opponent, you never really beat the opponent. And some people are going to be saying stuff like, oh, well, a win's a win no matter what. Well, a win's a win if you actually beat the opponent, to me. Now, Sammy Guevara, with all due respect, I'm glad he's a TNT champion, but let's call it like we see it. He could never really beat Miro. That's just me talking, okay? Now, this match, I said that if Bryan Danielson does it, I'll be amazed. I'll be extremely amazed. But in this match, in the end, one submission, went for the neck, that's it. Bryan Danielson wins. He gets an opportunity at the AEW World title. And whatever happens with Miro after that, I don't know. You know, I was hoping for, and I was going to bring this up. I was hoping for Lana or CJ Perry, the wife of Miro, to appear at AEW. That's what I kept thinking what was going to happen. You know, if Miro was going to win the match, right? But it ended up with Bryan Danielson winning the match. It goes the way it goes. And then he would meet the winner of the match between Hangman Adam Page and Omega. Your winner, Bryan Danielson, over Miro, technical submission. The next match was a 6-man tag team match. It featured the Lucha Brothers. I'm sorry. It featured Jurassic Express. It featured Jurassic Express and Christian Cage take on the Super Click or the Super Elite. I'd rather call them the Super Elite than the Super Click. I'm surprised that Shawn Michaels or Triple H have not had an opportunity. Or Kevin Nash or Scott Hall to go ahead and sue him for why you call yourself the Click for? You're not the Click. You know, I keep waiting for that to happen. I'd rather call them the Super Elite than the Super Click. But anyways, the Super Click, which features the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. This match was, oh my fucking God, where are you going from here? So they hit everything from head to toe. Everything. My first thought on this match is I see the Young Bucks and Adam Cole losing the match. Now, let me give you my prediction. My prediction is Jungle Boy should pin Adam Cole at Full Gear to develop something between these two to get them to get their feud to be escalated in something further, right? That was my thought. That was my huge thought of it. The finish ended up a lot different. Everything, they had everything in there. And by the way, they must love Bret Hart a whole lot, the Young Bucks and the Super Click. They call themselves the Super Click, but they dress like Bret Hart. Pink and black. I thought it was purple. No, it's pink. It looks pink on television. So anyways, you know, it seemed like, my first thought is, it wouldn't surprise me if the Super Click wins the match. It would be way too obvious. Because, you know, anytime when you see that happen, it's like, eh, whatever. It's just not worth watching. But if Jurassic Express and Christian Cage were to win the match, it would be worth it. Plus, it's Full Gear. You gotta let them win one time. You gotta let it happen. So this match was from inside the ring, outside the ring, on the stage, on the floor. You had Brandon Cutlet get involved in the fucking match. You had everybody else, you know, whatever. There was one part at the end where it looked like the Super Click were about to take all three of them out, right? And then I think, what was it? There was a spot that I saw where, let's see, I think Matt Jackson and Adam Cole were outside. Christian Cage was, I think, had nailed one of the Young Bucks. I think it was Nick Jackson, I think. And Luchasaurus had did like this I guess he did like a hurricanrana or something and laid out both Adam Cole and Nick Jackson on the outside while Matt Jackson was laid out and Christian Cage was about to hit him with a concerto. And then Jungle Boy goes, I mean, the look on Jungle Boy's face when he saw that, they even showed the expression on his face. And it's like, whoa, what the holy shit, what the fuck's that? You saw that look on his face. And then all of a sudden, you know, that went down. Christian was about to hit the concerto. Jungle Boy wanted to do it. Jungle Boy did it, laid him out. 1, 2, 3. Your winners, Jurassic Express and Christian Cage, defeated the team of Adam Cole and the Young Bucks of the Super Elite. Now, I'm going to try and get into these next few matches. Look, Cody Rhodes and Pac against Malakai Black and Andrade. Let me suspend for the formalities on this one. Cody Rhodes and Pac win the match. Wrong call. Extremely wrong call. Because the fans were booing the shit out of Cody. Speaking of Cody Rhodes, you know that he deleted his Twitter? Because somebody had pointed that out to me, and I do follow Cody on Twitter, right? So I go ahead and go on Twitter, and I was trying to look for Cody, and apparently his name's there, but everything else, he's gone. Apparently, I guess whatever he's going through right now, he doesn't want to get the fans under his skin. They want him to turn heel. And this is like John Cena all over again. They're trying to get John Cena to turn heel. Turn bad guy, please. Not going to happen. But anyway, so we're into the match. Cody Rhodes and Pac, that went down and everything. They defeated the team of Malakai Black and Andrade. And from what I understand, and just to give you guys a heads up, there's going to be a 8-man tag team match happening on Thanksgiving Eve on Dynamite. It's going to have Cody Rhodes, Pac, and the members of the Lucha Brothers to take on the team of Malakai Black, Andrade, and FTR. And that's going to take place on Thanksgiving Eve on AEW Dynamite. So be prepared for that. The next matchup, Dr. Britt Baker versus the woman with the most beautiful ass I have ever seen, Ty Conte. Let me not dispense with the formality on this one. I already knew what was going to happen. And with all due respect to Ty Conte, she's beautiful, she's hot, she's gorgeous. I want to marry her and have all her kids. That's just me. But this match, I already knew right away. I mean, we all knew Dr. Britt Baker was going to win. It took place. It happened. My only concern was, if you get rid of Rebel and get rid of Jamie Hayter and prove to the world that you are the best champion in the world, okay, you proved that. But in the meantime, we saw it coming. There was a little bit of interference. Ty Conte prevented that. But of course, Dr. Britt Baker hits the claw. What was it? Mandible claw or whatever? The lockjaw? I think that's what it's called. So Dr. Britt Baker retains the AEW Women's World Championship over Ty Conte. CM Punk taking on Eddie Kingston. This was a fucking fight. I'll tell you that right now. So when I saw this match, my God, there was a part, and I want to go ahead and get this part out of the way. There was a part to the match where CM Punk, and I saw this when I was inside the house, when I was having another beer, I was having another shot, right? But then all of a sudden I saw this part where CM Punk was doing these shoulder tackles, and I was like looking at it like, wait a minute, what the fuck is he doing? He's going, doing this side and doing this side and doing, it's like, wait a minute, why does this look familiar? And then all of a sudden CM Punk picks up Eddie Kingston and hits a backward suplex or something like that. I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck is CM Punk doing? And he's basically doing John Cena's moveset. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? So he goes ahead and does this shit, and then instead of doing the F5, Eddie Kingston throwing the finger, and then CM Punk throwing the finger as well, apparently, and these two were just going at it from head to toe, left and right. Loved how the match went down. And there was a part where I guess CM Punk got booed when Eddie, because Eddie Kingston, let's call it like we see it, Eddie Kingston is as real as they come. Eddie Kingston is, you know, like, you know, he's the most realest guy in AEW. And how do you boo a guy who's real? You can't. Eddie Kingston, he's badass. He knows what's up. But he's someone that you can tell he can't win that many matches. You can tell he can't win that many matches. And with all due respect, not that I'm saying he can't fight worth a shit, but I'm saying when it comes to wrestling, I mean, he doesn't do too well. That's why, you know, CM Punk, obviously we knew CM Punk was going to win. Obviously. But the thing was with Eddie Kingston is, with him, I mean, there's no other way of putting it. CM Punk went over and was going to, you know, wanted to shake his hand. And then Eddie Kingston being Eddie Kingston, just walk away. That was it. It was over. It's a tremendous fight. Dig how it was. I don't want to get into the match with the Inner Circle, because that's the next matchup here. CM Punk, by the way, wins the match against over Eddie Kingston. The Minneapolis Street Fight. Great fight. The Inner Circle took on the members of American Top Team with the members of the Men of the Year, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. Baron Von Brasky, or whatever his name was, the man that did the original Iron Claw, was at ringside. That was pretty cool to see a legend over there, you know, doing that stuff and everything. So, it was a good match. I mean, and there was, you know, the MMA guys did pretty good in the match. I think Junior Dos Santos did extremely well for himself. Dan Lambert, my God, the first thing that comes to my head when I see him wearing that outfit, I'm thinking of that, what's that volleyball movie with, not Adam Sandler, but who was it? Ben Stiller, right? It's something like that. It just comes off a movie. But anyways, at the end, there was a part where I think Chris Jericho did a little tribute to Eddie Guerrero and basically won the match. So there was really nothing else to talk about. I thought for sure that the Men of the Year and American Top Team were going to win the match, but it ended up with the Inner Circle winning the match, and there was really nothing to talk about here. So that ends it. Your winner is the Inner Circle. They win the match, heads down. And then comes the final match with the match that everyone's been anticipating to check out. Hangman Adam Page going one-on-one against Kenny Omega for the AEW World Championship with Don Callis in his corner. This was a good match. It's not a 5-star, 25... It was like a good, 10, 20-minute match and everything. And the right call was to go ahead and have Omega lose. And Omega was going to lose anyway because, from what I understand, Omega had several injuries done. Now, I have often said that Omega is the quote-unquote supposed undisputed AEW World Champion. That's my call. In this match, if Omega wins, it would make no sense and people would be pissed off at this pay-per-view. There was a part where Hangman Adam Page had told the Young Bucks not to appear at ringside. Don't fuck this match up. Something about, I guess, they didn't appear for Hangman when he first came out in the match. So, and then something about costing him the tag team titles, which they're even. And then Hangman had mentioned, if you do anything in this match, you know, don't ruin it. You know, I'll make your lives a living hell. And I think that's what he said. So after that, the match was good, head to toe, left and right. And as soon as Hangman Adam Page was about to hit the... he hit the one winged angel on Kenny Omega and he kicked out. And then here comes the Young Bucks. And it seems that it was about to go down, and it seems that the Young Bucks didn't want to get involved in the match. So they didn't. So you had Matt Jackson on one side, you had Nick Jackson on the other side. Hangman and Page had hit the lariat, the buckshot lariat on one side, one of the Young Bucks didn't interfere, and then the other one looked like he was about to interfere. I think it was Nick Jackson, or Matt Jackson to be exact. Had went ahead and nodded his head and said, go ahead. Go ahead. Hits one more buckshot lariat. 1, 2, 3. Your winner and new AEW World Champion, Hangman Adam Page. He truly deserved it. This was the match that everybody was looking forward to checking out. And I was extremely happy with it. I was glad that Hangman won. The Dark Order had appeared before everybody. It was a great match. It was a tremendous match. I mean, there was no other way to put it, you know? It was the right call. Hangman deserved to win it. This was a match 2 years in the making, because when Hangman Adam Page had first burst on the scene, he said that he was going to win the AEW World Championship. He could not win it against Chris Jericho in the Double or Nothing pay-per-view from 2019, because my prediction was it may happen. And it's not like he doesn't deserve to be the champion. It just wasn't his moment just yet. So this was the right call. This was the right moment. This was the right time. So as far as I'm concerned, Hangman winning was the right call. Hangman winning the championship over Kenny Omega was the right call. So obviously Omega is going to be out of action for a while. He is going to be sidelined. And from what I understand, he's going to be taking some good time off and everything. Now, here's the thing. Everybody knows how I feel about Kenny Omega. But for once, Omega did something right for the business. He did. This is kind of like the whole thing with Ric Flair and Sting. Years ago, Sting was supposed to become the NWA World Champion at WrestleWar back in 1990, but due to his injury, that couldn't happen. So then, fast forward, you get the Great American Bash. Sting takes on Ric Flair. Sting becomes a world champion for the first time, and Ric Flair loses the championship to Sting. And it was the right call. It was the right move. And this was the right call to check out. So, kudos to Hangman Adam Page. Congratulations go out to him for winning the title. And to Kenny Omega, I still think that he's not worth a dime in professional wrestling. That's just my view. But this was the right call, and he may be the greatest world champion to all of the modern-day wrestling fans. But he did something right for the business. He did. I know a lot of people still have their opinions about Kenny Omega, but this was the right call by every stretch of the imagination. So, Full Gear was a tremendous event. Love all the matches. Digged how it went down and everything. And now the big question remains is, Full Gear was everything. It was a four-hour event, right? It was great from head to toe. The biggest question now remains is, can Survivor Series beat Full Gear? Now, on the last episode, I mentioned, can Full Gear beat Survivor Series? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Everything that I saw at Full Gear, best storylines, best wrestling matches, new stars, new developments, new storylines, something's about to go down. And now Survivor Series coming up this Sunday, they're going to have a tough act to follow. But I'm going to be talking about that on the next episode of the Main Event Talk podcast, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about Survivor Series with a question, can Survivor Series top Full Gear? You'll know the answer to that and much more. With that being said, that's going to do it for this edition of this episode of the Main Event Talk podcast. Get a chance to check out Full Gear live as it happens on pay-per-view. The Encore presentation is available. Get a chance to check it out while you can. Of course, subscribe to the Main Event Talk podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you find your favorite podcast. Follow the Main Event on Twitter at twitter.com/@MainEventPlayer. You can also follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/@MainEventPlayer. The development work for the Main Event Talk Facebook page is in the works. Nothing is official just yet, but I'll let everybody know when the Facebook page can be up once again. And then, of course, if you want to friend request me on Facebook, proceed at your own risk. And this episode of the Main Event Talk podcast is brought to you by Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes, the legend continues. And it's also sponsored by Emo Night. Emo Night is this Saturday night. Check it out live as it happens. Get there as early as possible. Get your free t-shirts and everything else like that. The main event may or may not be a part of the event and everything else like that. So, Guys, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time on another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast, where we're going to talk about Survivor Series. Can Survivor Series live up to what Full Gear does? You'll find that out, and so much more. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time on another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Why? Because I can, and I want to. Any questions? Enough said. Take it easy, guys.